who are driving in and out to make this service a great a success. We sincerely appreciate every one of us. I would want to first give thanks for the offering, and then after that, we are going to continue. Shall we give thanks? Lord, we thank you for the great things that you have done in our lives. We thank you for the many, many treasures that you have given to us. You have entrusted into our hands money. You have entrusted into our hands businesses. You have given to us jobs. And they come with so much resource that has in turn become a blessing in our lives. And we want to just give a little of what you have given back to you and to your kingdom. We ask that it may go into the use for what will glorify your name and for what that will build your kingdom and your service. We pray that what you've given, what we have given to you, dear Lord, will be for a blessing to someone out there and to the work that you have entrusted to us as Grace Hill Mission Church Northlands. We appreciate you for what you have done. And Lord, as we go into the ministry of your word, we pray that you are going to speak to us at the individual level. We pray that we're going to hear you loud and clear, telling us the direction that we ought to go. And we pray we will be faithful and careful to not only to hear, but to be the doers of your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to our first ever Sunday service. We have been welcomed by our sister Jane, and for the first fourth service. And it is exciting to see all of you. It's exciting to see someone that has not been with us, and it keeps telling us that we ought to be encouraged. The Lord is building us up. I was given some instruction that the children would love to be on their own as they start building their Sunday school or their children church. And I would want to encourage all of us children to go out and participate in our class. And do not be discouraged that your class is under the tree. From there, the Lord will build a mighty church. You're going to have excellent Sunday school classes. You're going to have Sunday school classes with sound system, soundproof, with AC. You're going to have great classes, yeah? So I want you to be encouraged, children. Do not look at the small beginning and despise yourself. So I want to ask that you may stand up. All the children, kindly stand up. And their teacher today, teacher Mwenda, is handling the children, and we want to release them. Shall we pray for them? We thank you, dear Father, for the children you've given to us. We thank you for their commitment to the gospel. We want to thank you for the great commitment they have there to their lessons, and we ask that you may be with them. As they learn, even as they go out to sit under a tree, we pray that this is going to be a fresh and a new beginning that they are all going to refer to and say that we were once under a tree, and they will have seen the great work that you have done in their lives and in their time. We pray for your blessings upon them and their teachers. Will you speak and minister to them? And whatever they are learning, we pray it is going to stick in their lives and in their hearts, and it is going to be for a difference that will make them better people in your service and in your kingdom for the time that they shall live. This we pray in Jesus' name. You are released, children. May the Lord bless you. Let's appreciate them as they go. Today, I think things are taking shape. Every day we come, there is something new. Today we have our Sunday school for the first time, and we will just feel like the whole church is gone out. You realize together with me that we make quite a church. And but this is an encouragement that let's keep inviting people. Today, when we go for our service, when we are this few, we will be able to see ourselves the way we are. This tells you, you have a responsibility to invite your neighbor, to invite your friend. And not just the people that are coming from around here. We can invite from far and wide. We have gone to church many, many years for many, many kilometers. And we therefore are believers that we can have people coming from far and wide to come and be blessed together with us. On Sunday, in our continuation of Do Not Despise the Days of Small Beginning, we were doing the second prerequisite of what is demanded of us as we continue with our small beginning. The first one we did was faithfulness. The second one we did on Sunday is a prerequisite of courage, that courage is demanded of us. And we looked at Joshua and God telling him and assuring him that his word is going to be with him. And we looked at three things where Joshua was supposed to draw his courage from and his strength from. Number one, we said the Lord had his promise over Joshua. And Joshua could draw his courage and confidence from the promises that God gave to him. And I know I'm taking quite some time on the recap, but allow me to remind ourselves that God comes to Joshua, not referring to the written word that Moses had already written, but God comes to Joshua and says, I will be with you. A very personalized promise to Joshua. And he did not only promise to be with him, he also gives him this other promise. And why I want to dwell on this is because we are building on it today. He says that Joshua, wherever your feet tread, wherever your feet stand, I will give unto you. A very personalized promise. And Joshua could draw his strength from the promise that were personalized to him from the Lord. The second thing that he could draw his strength from is the written word of God. And God tells him, this word of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. That was also somewhere that Joshua could draw his strength from. And thirdly, God gives him another source of strength, the people that God had given to work with him, to walk with him. And largely, he tells the Benjamite, the half tribe of Manasseh, tells them that these people will go before you. They will help you fight your own battles. So you can rest assured that there are people walking with you. You can draw your promise, and we can draw our strength from those three items, from those three things in the life, in our lives. We have the promise of God, personally he has promised. We have the word of God that has been written to us, and we have the people of God, the people that we are serving together. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So today you are not walking alone. You are walking with others who God has ordained, God has assigned to be your workmate in this journey. And we ask ourselves today, this morning, courage to do what? And I want to read the book of Joshua chapter 1. We are going to read again the whole of it. Yeah? Sorry. The book of Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read the whole of it. And we are going to draw a few promises, a few principles from there. I want to read. I trust that you are there. Those of us with physical Bibles, you can open. Those of us who are tapping, you are free to tap. So we're going to read Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole of it. It is a blessing, by the way. It is a blessing. The book of Revelation says that blessed are those that read. You know, it's a blessing to read the word of God. It's a blessing even to read it like we are doing as a church. So let me start with this blessing. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over to this Jordan, thou and all the people, and to the land which the Lord gave to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that shall I give unto you. And I, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, verse 4, please take note of this. Every place that is, no, verse 4, sorry. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, upon the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to withstand, to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance, the land which I saw unto their forefathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou shalt mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right, nor to the left, that thou may prosper wherever thou goest. What? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that which is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over Jordan to go and possess the land which the Lord your God gave it to you, for you to possess. And the Reubenite, the Gadite, and the half tribe of Manasseh speak unto Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the Lord's servant, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land, your wives and your children, the little ones, Your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you shall pass, therefore, you shall pass before your brethren, armed all the army, mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given them, had given your brethren rest, as he has given, as he has given you, and they also shall possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan towards the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded us we shall do, and whoever shall send, and whatever thou shalt send us, we will go. According as you have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever he that has done rebel against thy command, and will not hearken unto the word in all that thou commandest thee, commandest him, we shall put to death. Only be of good courage. Praise the Lord. I trust that we have followed. My translation was a difficult one, but we have followed what God and Joshua, what God is telling Joshua. And after telling him to be courageous, he has taken time to tell him to do what? This courage that I am giving to you. The courage that we talked about on Sunday is courage to do what? It is courage to possess the land. The courage to go on in obedience to what the Lord is commanding him. Courage is needed. So, verse 7 to verse 9 says, make sure that you are strong and brave. Be careful. Obey all that the Lord has commanded you. Keep charge. I'm reading now through a different version. He says, this translation is saying that the Lord's command on Joshua to be courageous is for a particular purpose. It is to obey what the Lord has commanded unto him. And this now brings to us to the other prerequisite. After being courageous, God comes and says to Joshua, the other thing that you need to have as a prerequisite for you to be able to get into the possession that the land that God has given to you, you will need to do one other thing. You must obey what the Lord has commanded unto you. Joshua is called and he is being in the presence of the Lord, not for his own sake, but he is in the presence of the Lord for the sake of himself as a person, for the sake of his family, and for the sake of the Raja, children of Israel, the Hebrews that have come from the land of slavery together with him. So we ask ourselves, who is this or are these that Joshua is representing? God is talking to him on behalf of the people. God is talking to him to lead these people. Now, because I want us to recreate that scenario. The scenario is Joshua has like 2 million people. The people that came from Israel, from Egypt, are 2 million Hebrews. And by this time, I want you to figure out, where are these people? And at what point in their journey is Joshua coming in? Joshua is leading a people who have been redeemed from Egypt, a people who have stayed in slavery for years, for generations. And a people, after they have been redeemed from this slavery, they have been in the wilderness for how many years? For 40 years. Now, I want you to be careful to note this. When Moses came with, or when they came from Egypt with the children of Israel, they took how long to get to the verge, to the boundary of the promised land? Believe you me, they took 2 years to get to see that this is Canaan. Just 2 years. And now this is the backbone of my message. That from those 2 years, they now start wandering. They are not even wandering, really in the desert. They are just at the verge of enter. They can actually see. And how I want us to, why I want you to see this is because, what I want us to see is Joshua at this point, he has served with Moses. He has served under Moses for like 38 years. And Moses at some point, when they reach where they are, Moses gets some people, some 12 of them, and he sends them over. This is now the paradox of this journey. When Moses sends these 12 people, how long do they take to get to Canaan? How long do they take to get to the promised land? Do you believe you me? In the book of Numbers, I have touched the wrong button and my sermon has disappeared, but I'm looking for it. At least it was saved, I know. I don't want to do like a man who couldn't trace his sermon. But he remembered at some point that in his sermon, there was this verse, that there was this he had written, I am coming. And he started now trying to remember what was that. And he says, I am coming. The first time he's starting to remember, he's trying to remember, scratching his head. He says, I am coming. I am coming soon. And now when he couldn't trace it, now he faints. And because his pulpit was not like mine, he collapses and collapses on the ready. And when he wakes up, the lady tells him, I'm sorry, you had told me enough time, you are coming. It is me who was not ready that you are coming. I do not want to do that. Oh, finally, I have found my message. So Joshua is at the verge of entering the promised land, having been in the wilderness for 38 years. Now they are just there. They can see. In fact, if we just crossed over Jordan, we will be in the promised land. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, we see Moses is sending some spies. And he sends them, the 12 of them. And they take how long? 40 days. 40 days to go and still come back. It's a return journey. They are going for a fact-finding mission. And I do believe that they did not just get in and come back. Within 40 days, they have gone. They have gathered all the data and they bring it back. So can we assume that in these 40 days, they had like 5 days to collect data? Because that land was vast also. But they came from one corner to the other. So practically speaking, where these people have been traveling for 38 years and they are still not there, it was manageable to go within 40 days and come back to the position that they are in. Therefore, we ask ourselves, what was the problem? Why did they take so long in the wilderness? So, in defining who these people are, I want us to see and to start defining who we are and what we are called to do. So we say that God, when he is redeeming them, when he is saving them from the slavery in Egypt, he has a vision. He has a complete picture of what he wants to accomplish using these people. He says, these are my people. I want to give to them the land that I had promised to their forefathers. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. You know, God had milk and honey without people to enjoy it. Okay? God had milk and honey stored somewhere without a people who could enjoy it. So he goes to Egypt and he sends Moses and he tells him, go and get these people out of slavery, bring them to the land that I have promised to give to them. God has a people, God has a promise, and God has a place. God's people are in the wilderness. The promise still remains, but the people are not aware of it. So Moses is sent, go and bring these people out of slavery. I want them to enjoy the fullness of my blessing. I want these people to enjoy the fullness of my promise. So these 2 million people come out of slavery. The Lord has redeemed them. The Lord has walked with them. The Lord has brought them just at the verge. But what happens after the data is brought? Moses receives the data from the people. And when these 10 people bring this data, raw as it is, they bring it to Moses. And it is, you know, statistics, they say, do not lie. Now, these people go out and collect data as it is. They come and say, the land is good. For a fact, it is good. They say, the people there are big, they are mighty, they are stronger. That's a fact. They say, the fruit of that place, the fruit of that, the land is so fertile. But one thing that the 12 or the 10 make a mistake of is that their focus and their concentration is not on what God says. It's simply on what is available on data. It is on what is physically available. And they remove God and his promise from the data. They collect viable data. They collect information as it is, and they bring it to Moses and to the children of Israel. Sometimes, the things that will intimidate you, or what will intimidate you, is when you look at what is the face value of what you can see. You look at the situations today. In your place of work, you can see for sure, I am the next one. People have been declared redundant. People have been given the handshake, whatever golden or whatever other metal it is. And you can see it is the next one. And that one draws you away from the promises of the Lord. The promise of blessing you. And it draws you away from it. And you focus on what you can see. These 12 people goes out and the 10 comes back with a report as it is. If you look at their promise, if you look at their report, you will be keen to see they do not mention anywhere God. They do not mention the promise of God. But there are 2 people whose focus is different. These people have promised or have decided. They have made up their minds. I will focus on what the Lord says. And these people are the people who bring a different report. When they bring a different report, the people of the children of Israel have a choice to make. Do we believe on the 12? On the 10, on the report of the 10, or do we believe on the report Do we stand on the report of the two? Do we stand on the report of the 10? Now, many a times, when we know what the Lord has said, and we know we are Christians, we know what the Lord has promised. But let me ask you, if you are to make that choice in the wilderness, I want you to transplant yourself into the wilderness with these people and ask yourself, if you are in that congregation, what decision or what site would you have been? I don't want to ask because it is rather obvious. Most of the Christians would look and say, I will be on the report of the Lord. But I doubt. And the reason I doubt is because even today, in our very own lives, there are many times we look at the report of what we can see, just like these people. For sure, the children of Anak, the Anakites, lived there. They were bigger. This is a report that is factual. It is a report that you can prove. And many a times, you as a Christian, I as a Christian, have I stood for what I see, or have I stood for what the Lord has said in my life? You see, the Lord has a people, the Lord has a promise, and the Lord has a place. Are you able to stand on the promise of the Lord, even when it is contradictory to what you can see? When we stand with the report of the Lord, things will be different. Can you believe it? That in the 2 million people who came from Egypt, can you look at what these guys were experiencing? We have said we want to transplant ourselves there. An experience. We ask ourselves, what is the circumstance? Their circumstances are so plain in our eyes. Circumstance number one. These people have come from slavery. They have walked with God. God has been there. If you actually had an aerial view of that camp, when after the tabernacle is established, there it is built, and if you looked at them from an aerial view, you will see 3 tribes on the left, 3 tribes on the right, 3 tribes to the east, 3 tribes to the west, and they make a cross. And the tabernacle is there at the center, and you would almost see a moving cross. I want you to go to the book of Numbers, you will see how the tribe on the east, the tribes on the west, 3, 3, 3, 3. And right here is the tent of the meeting where the Lord will meet with them. And when the Lord wants them to move, the crowd will move and they continue. The pillar of fire would move and they continue. They have experienced a walk with God. Not only have they experienced God, but they have experienced provision. Can you imagine waking up without any stress? Tutakula nini jioni? Tutakula nini lunch hour? You wake up, you just go and collect enough for you to eat. They have really walked with God. They have seen God. And I think the most exciting when I was looking at this, can you believe it? That you wake up, and if you are growing up, your shoe gets bigger to fit you. You know, for 40 years. You wake up and the shirt that we have now is newer to fit you. Their clothes did not get torn and their shoe did not. They have walked with God 40 years without a change of shoe, without a change of clothes. Clothes that are growing to fit. Can you see they have walked with God? They have walked with God, but a report comes that completely blocks them from seeing the Lord, from knowing the promise of the Lord. It comes and tells them they are big people. They are bigger cities, fortified, but they do not trust in the Lord. They choose not to obey the Lord. Let me even make this situation
their circumstance. Let me play it even harder and ask. When I ask whether you could have voted for the land of Canaan or the wilderness, today is Christian because of the song that we have heard. We shall believe it, and we get very excited, and it is good to do. But put yourself in their shoe and ask yourself, would I have really chosen? Let me come home. Ladies, when Joshua is telling these people we are going to close over, what he means is we are going to engage in battle. Ladies, when you are told that your husband will be the one to go and fight, he might not come back. When you will be told that your son will be the one who might go there and he will not come back, what would you choose? Would you choose for the wilderness? Would you choose? Would you choose for the wilderness? Would you choose for the promised land? I choose to understand them. And I know now you know why. Many of them could have chosen to remain in the wilderness. It was not easy. But when the Lord tells you that this thing is your provision, it is your predestined purpose for you, would you still choose to listen and to obey the Lord? That is my challenge. So the choice that they had was a very difficult choice. It was not an easy choice. They had a difficult choice, but they chose to believe the discouraging report of the 12, of the 10. Now, they had two choices. We say the choice number one, remain in the wilderness. Just let the status remain, the status quo. Do not get bothered beyond what you think you can, simply because the Lord has called you. Just remain the way you are. Why do you need to seek that perfect will of God when you are good in the will of God the way it is? You know, it was the will of God for them to go up to where they were. And many Christians of today, many in the church today, we choose to do the will of God just to a certain extent. May the Lord help us. The children of Israel chose to come with the Lord up to the cross, up to the verge of Jordan, just crossing over to get to the perfect plan, to the place and to the purpose where God had called and moved with them so far. I want to tell you this morning that the Lord and his plan and purpose is not for you to remain at a place that you are not complete. There is a perfect plan from God. There is a perfect place for you. The promise still remains that there the people of God can enter the rest that God has chosen. So in defining who we have been able to define who they are, we have been able to define where they are coming from and where they are going. And we want to ask ourselves, what is the difference between us and them? Who are we? So we must define ourselves and say, we are believers. And believers are called believers because they believe. We are children of God. In fact, in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, this is, I think, a verse that we should take every one of us and put it in our hearts. This verse is one of the verses that I strongly believe we should be able to quote it from our hearts. What does it say? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7.
says, so you who believe, I'm reading through NET, New English Translation. So you who believe see his value, but those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and the stumbling block and the rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Now, this is now how we define ourselves. But you, who are you? You are a chosen race. Were the children of Israel a chosen race? Do we agree that so far we are also just like them? So Peter tells you that you are a chosen race. Who are you? A royal priesthood. Who are you? A holy nation. A people belonging to God. Hallelujah. Now, that is not the end of it. Why do we belong to God? So that we proclaim. We have a proclamation to do because we are the children of God. We have a place that God has ordained for us, that you may proclaim the virtue of the one who called us. Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The children of Israel were called from a literal, physical enslavement. But for us, we have been called out of darkness, out of a spiritual enslavement, out of a spiritual slavery. We have been called, but we have been called to walk with God through this wilderness and to declare the praise of his holy name. The Lord is counting on us. The Lord is counting on you, my sister and my brother. He wants you to declare. But the question is, what choice do you make? The option number one, we said, was to remain in the wilderness. The option number two was to obey the Lord and enter into the promised land. We may not actually be able to know what exactly was in the promised land, but we know it was a land of provision. It was a land of peace. It was a land in which they have been promised that no one will be able to withstand you. And for us, children of God, this morning, we have two choices, just like them. To disobey and let the status quo remain. The status quo that Paul talks to Timothy. And he says, he talks of a people who hold a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. But may the Lord help every one of us, that we will not just be a people who have a form of godliness, but we are going to walk into the promise of God, become partakers of his power, become partakers of his glory, and we shall walk forth declaring his praise into the people, into this community where he has called us. He is calling us to be the people through who he is going to display his splendor. The book of Isaiah says, and you are a planting of the Lord, a display of his own splendor. May you be a display of his splendor in his, in your workplace. May you be a display of his splendor in the estate where we live, in the people that we interact with. God has given to us a task. He saved us that we may occupy where he is calling us to occupy. That is our choice. We have said that God has a promise. God has a people, and we are the people of God. And God has a place of rest where you can enjoy, where you can enjoy being a planting, and people will refer to you as a planting of the Lord for the display of his own splendor. But the choice is yours. Who do you believe? The book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. The Bible talks of these people. When they did not obey the Lord, they chose for themselves leaders to take them back to Egypt. And they valued the people will call it red Jews, others will call them letters, others will, I don't know what you call them, but the red Jews of Egypt was a big motivation for them to go back and forget the milk and the honey that the Lord was calling them to enjoy. I want to tell you, wherever you are, whoever you are, you have a better promise. You have a better life to enjoy only if you will be willing to cross over to what the Lord is calling you to enjoy. The milk and honey still await you. So as we continue, when they chose to confront Moses and Aaron, and they told them, we would rather have died in the desert. Why wouldn't we be buried in Egypt? Why wouldn't we die in the desert? Did you bring us here to die in the desert? And they chose, as long as they verbalized their thoughts, I want to tell you, God did exactly that. One by one, they died in the wilderness until the very last one. Talk of two in a million, Joshua and Caleb. We started by saying there were 2 million people who left Canaan. And in every million, there was one person who entered the promised land. One in a million, literal. And today, it is not that the Christians of today, the millions of today, will enjoy the full measure of God's blessings in their lives. I highly doubt, maybe one in a million. May this church be found to be one in a million that will enjoy the fullness of God's blessing as we walk into the promises of God. As we walk into the promises of God in our places of work, in our places of school, in our colleges, in our businesses, I want to tell you, there still remains a promise. And God has said, He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. But you've got to be different, like one in a million who chooses to believe and to obey what the Lord is calling us to do. Do you understand the mission that God has for you? Is it clear in your mind? Remember, those of us who were there in Grace Hill or in Nairobi Mission Church then, when we were studying the book called Experiencing God, a book that I highly recommend. If you have not studied, if you have not read that book, it's a study book. If you have not gone through it, I would highly recommend to go through it. And he starts, the first chapter starts by saying that serving God or walking with God is not about you. It starts with you knowing what direction is God moving. And once you have known the direction that God is moving, and you align yourself, it is not you to spend all the time trying to figure out what God is doing in your life. It is for you to release yourself into the will and to the purpose of God. And when you know that God is going this direction, align yourself that way. Your life will start that moment being fulfilled because you have already known which direction God is moving and you have aligned yourself therein. Praise be to the name of the Lord. There are situations, there are scenarios in your places of work that you are wondering, what exactly should I do? In your family, in your extended family, you may have reached a point that you are asking yourself, which way do I go? May I tell you, in that situation, let us know which direction is God moving. Align yourself therein. Walk with Him, and you will start being fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Those of us, maybe you are still single, you are not married, you are trusting God. I want to tell you, you do not have to deliver so much. You do not have to kill yourself thinking, stressed. I want to tell you, just know which direction is God moving. Plug yourself there. When you align yourself in the purposes of God, fulfillment starts there. I want to give a story of a friend of mine who had a daughter who died in class 4. And I think in the recent past, I haven't gone for a burial of a person that has been celebrated like that girl. She died in class 4. The father is a man that you all know. And when we went to bury Kagendo, the whole school, I did not say a part of the school, the whole school literally was closed. They came for the burial of this girl. Why? Because when Kagendo walked into class 1, she went and told teacher, can I be praying before we start our lesson? Sure enough. Just say yes. And Kagendo started praying every single morning before they start their class. Whether they go for a parade or not, Kagendo was there to pray. And she realized there are so many other classes and they are not praying. So she would go there. She would go to this class, and this class. In standard 4, she died. But the whole school had developed a culture where they would pray before they start a lesson, and a student will pray because of the effort of a girl who walked to class 1 and said, teacher, I would want to be praying before we start our lesson. I want to tell you, once you know the direction God is using your life to move, once you know the direction that you are able to move and be fruitful, and you align yourself with the purposes of God, at whatever time that your life will be coming to an end, you will have lived a fulfilled life. The land flowing with milk and honey, signifying satisfaction of the life that we live. Do not be cheated. It is not about money. It is not about the earthly possessions that will bring us fulfillment. It is doing the will and the purpose for what God is calling us. God has a people, and you are the people of God. God has a promise. Please know, what is God promising about my life? And God has a place. Know which direction is He going, and align yourself there. So when we went to Rangata to bury Kagendo, everybody that came, we were not crying. We all felt God has called her to rest because she has finished her work. She had reached many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say that the two people in the book of Numbers, Joshua and Caleb, when they chose to bring this report, they brought a report which had a hope, a report which had strength in it, a report which says, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8, it says, if the Lord be pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It is, if the Lord is pleased with you, He will lead you. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Let not the situation at work be so troublesome that you will get stress and ulcers. My brother and my sister, if the Lord be pleased with you, He will bring you. He will deliver you where you ought to be in the name of Jesus. And when you walk there, that career that God has given you will be so, so fruitful. It is going to transform many people. It is going to transform lives. That what God has given you, that talent God has given you, He desires of you, if He is pleased with you, to lead you to that place that is flowing with milk and honey. You've been redeemed for a purpose. But like the children of Israel at the verge of crossing Jordan, we said, many of us, having played that scenario, they don't know which way to vote. Would you vote this way or that way? Let me now bring it closer home. I had said, fathers, when you are asked that you may have to leave your children and go for battle, would you still choose Canaan? Would you still vote for Canaan, or would you vote for the wilderness? What I'm saying is, the land that God is calling His people to possess has a price tag attached to it. It has a price tag, my brother. My sister, it has a price tag. It is not just a walk-in. Whatever style you want, it is not a free walk-in, walk-out. It has a price tag. It will cost you. What will it cost you? My brother, it will cost you your time. It will cost you your treasure. It will cost you your talent. I want to tell you that when we choose to go the way, the direction that God is going, when we choose to obey the Lord in what He is calling us to do, it is going to cost you time on your knees. Because the Lord is not calling us just to exist and to just become like everybody else. It is when the Spirit of the Lord has left you that you become like everybody else. You remember the case of Samson. He kept thinking he is different. When the Spirit of the Lord had left him, he realized he is just like everybody else. And it is a high time that we do not allow the Spirit of God to live or to depart in our lives, but to be different. Like the spirit that was in Joshua and Caleb, the Spirit of God remained in them. And this is why they could hold on to this, that we are well able to reach the optimum according to the plan and to the purpose that God has for us. Have you reached your optimum? Are you willing to reach the level that God is calling you to achieve? It will cost you. Even when it's costing you, are you willing to pay that cost? Cost on your knees, praying, interceding for your people. If you remain like a commoner, if you remain a person with the same spirit, your people may never change. Your mother and your father may never change. But like Joshua and Caleb, what spirit do you have? Joshua and Caleb decided to be, to carry a different spirit. It will cost you a different lifestyle. It demands of you. You cannot live like everybody else and imagine that your life will be powerful. It will cost you a different lifestyle. You cannot bring up your children like any other children in the street and expect that they will be different. But it is a high time that our children will see us on our knees. Our children will see us reading the Bible. As we were talking with my wife and some other friends on Friday, we were talking about how do we do our devotion. And we were being discouraged. We were discouraging one another from using our phones. I want to tell you, my brother, when they come, because they are coming, if they you sit on that corner and you are reading the Bible and on phone
and they are there on the other side. They are doing their games. They are not going to tell the difference. Damaris, when you are there on that table room and you are there with a phone, maybe you are reading the Bible, fine, we do not deny. But I think when we go physical, when Michael wakes up and sees mommy is reading the Bible, he will know that this thing is valuable. It has made mom who she is. It has made dad who she is. When you pray, do not pray in your bed. Do not pray in your bedroom. Wake up, my brother. Kneel there. Let them see. Daddy wakes up. Kneel down. And he calls upon the name of the Lord. He has, that has made the difference. I want to tell you, our lifestyle cannot be like any other person out there and expect to be a different. It has a price tag. If you want your children, the generation behind them, the generation that will call you Guka and Shosho, the generation that will call you Maito the second and the third time, to be different, we've got to start paying for it now. The investment we are doing is not for this generation, my brother. It's not for this generation. It is for the generations that are yet to come. They counted their cost and they chose to disobey the Lord. But for us, what is your choice? When you choose to obey the Lord, he will make that fulfilled plan to be your possession. I like the different spirit that was in Caleb, the different spirit that would still say, 40 years down the line, he says, I was 40 years when Moses promised this mountain. I am now 85 and I am willing to fight for what is mine. Do you know what is the promise that God has called you to possess? Do you know the part of the promised land that you are feeling you are living short of? Could it be your family life? You know for sure my family life is not what God intended of it. My career is not what God intended of it. If you know that you are short in one area or another, it is a high time that we go and fight for what is ours. We say it is going to cost us, but God has a people. God has a plan. God has a place that he needs occupied by his people. Let me ask us to think. Do you think that God left them, the people who died in the wilderness? God continually gave them manna, even as they were dying one by one. You know, at some point, God was fed up with them and he wanted to do a whole closure. He wanted to close all of them at the same time. But Moses said, for the sake of your name, let it not happen. I want to tell you, God did not backtrack on his promise. And I think that is the core of what I want to share with us. What was different? God did not close them, or God did not act immediately, but he did not forsake them. He continually fed them. He continually led them, even round and round that desert. Do you know, if you are not careful in following the Lord, if you are not careful in obeying what the Lord wants of you, he will not leave you. He did not leave them. He continued going round with them. Because they were not willing to obey the Lord in the desert. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 40. Giving them food every day. Wewe time yako ikifika, unaenda. Wewe yako ikifika, unaenda. But what was the difference? The difference was, this is a generation that did not contribute towards what God had intended for them from the beginning. Please, can you let that sink in your mind? Let that sink in your heart. That this generation, why God was annoyed with them, is that they were not contributing to his final destiny for them. May the Lord help us, that we may wake up and realize that what I am today is not the best of what I can be.
I am a child of God. God has much more for me to accomplish. But are you willing to contribute to his final design, or the final, that picture of you at the end? That generation was wasted because they did not contribute towards what God had in his plan for them. In the generation of nowadays, the generation of you and us, my brother, I am calling you, I am inviting you, and God is inviting you to make a contribution that is positive towards where he is going, towards where he is taking you, and say, I am willing to obey. And once you are willing to obey and you surrender your life to him, you surrender to contribute to his purposes for your life will be a fulfillment right from day one. The difference is they did not contribute towards what God was doing for them.
And in conclusion, I want us to take time to ask of the Lord that it may be clear in our minds and in our spirit the direction that he is taking our lives, the direction that he desired, the place that he desired of you and I, that you may align yourself therein, and that you may start walking in contribution every single day, that you will know that this is where God wants me to be, and you will lay on your knees, you will be on your knees praying and interceding that God may make you what he wants of you now, even as you contribute to where he is taking you. Shall we stand up? The consequences of disobedience were clear. Even though God did not forsake them, God was not happy with them, and he desired a complete a work relationship with them, working towards his destiny, the destiny that he had for them. And this afternoon, as we stand in the presence of God, God is calling us to work with him in obedience and in total surrender, that he may walk with you to build you to the very version that he wants you to be, the very best version of you. We surrender our lives to you, Lord. We surrender our lives to the final destiny that you have for us. Lord, that you may help us work together with you in making us the people that you want to have in your house, in the making us the people that you want to have in your kingdom, that we may accomplish that what you are calling us to accomplish. Lord, we surrender. Our families are into your hands now. We surrender them to you, Lord. Our spouses, Father, we pray that you're going to make us, every one of us, the partners that we ought to be in our homes and in our families. In the name of Jesus, in our workplaces, we pray that you are going to work within us, our Father, to make us your people. That God, in those companies, we're going to do our contribution faithfully in the name of Jesus. Maybe our part is prayer, we will pray faithfully. Maybe our part is witnessing, we will do that faithfully, we pray. And for every people, the people that you are going to bring in our interactions and in our places, Father, where we interact, we pray, we will make an impact in the name of Jesus. Father, we surrender ourselves to you. Give to us the courage to obey you. Give to us the courage to seek you, our Father, that we may hear you with clarity in the name of Jesus. We will hear from you, our Father. We will not live our lives, our Father, in darkness, groping, not knowing what your will is concerning us. But Lord, we will seek to know your will. And our Father, after we seek to know your will, we will be willing to pay the highest cost that we may be the people that you will be proud of, the children we will be proud of, people that are doing your will. Our Father, it will cost us.
even to build a sanctuary in this place. We want to surrender our finances, our God. We want to surrender even our bank accounts to you, that God, you may have access therein. That God, even as you have not withheld from us anything good, you have given to us everything good for your purpose. We pray that we are going to give our highest valued treasures for your kingdom. And Lord, we will be faithful, we pray, in giving our offering, in giving our tithes. We will give to you because we love you. Because God, you called us, because you have loved us. And the purchase of love, the currency of our salvation is your love. And we want to yield to that love, we pray. We pray, our Father, that you may make us the parents that we ought to be. Make us the parents, the good examples that we ought to be for our children. We pray that none of us will fall short, dear Father. That our children will learn from us to obey you. Our children will learn from us to seek after you and to follow after you, O God. And we will be the examples, dear Father. And we will be pointing them to you, O God. And when they grow up, we pray that none of our children will divert from your ways, but they are going to follow after you in the name of Jesus. We pray that every one of them, none of them will go astray, will be led astray by this world, by the pressures of this world. We separate them from the drugs, from the addictions of this world. None of them will be swept away, but they are going to follow after you, King of all kings. We declare that our children are blessed. We declare that even their families will be blessed. We declare that their families will follow after you in the name of Jesus. And none of them, our Father, will not know you, but they are going to grow into the knowledge of God, following after you. Right now, some of them are not born, but they are going to be born to follow after you. Some of them that are already born, we pray that they are going to be contained in doing your will in the name of Jesus. And our Father, we release ourselves to you. Make us, dear Father, what you want us to be for your kingdom. Make us, Lord, make our families the families that you want to have in your kingdom. In our decision making, we pray we will make decisions that will glorify you. We thank you and worship you. We release ourselves into your hands. We pray that the week ahead of us will be blessed. Father, you will keep us. When we go out, we will enjoy pastures. When we come in, we will enjoy your presence. Father, we pray that everything that we do, we will be blessed of you. Make us your witnesses, Lord. Father, as we have started this work, we pray that every one of us will be completely yielded to you. Father, many are the days we will come to work in this place. May you bless those days. Many are the times we will go out and make witnesses of your name. We pray that we will be effective in the name of Jesus. And our congregation will grow in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we will be faithful in the days of small beginning. And when our church is grown, when our church is a mega church, we will remember to lay all our trophies at your feet and give you honor and give you glory. We worship you, dear Father. We celebrate your love and we celebrate your goodness this afternoon. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' holy name, we pray.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. We have come to the end of our service. I want to declare that your food is blessed. Your water is blessed. Whatever the work of your hand is blessed, may the Lord sort you out in everything that you do this week. You are blessed, and your blessing, the blessings of the Lord will be evident upon you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And now may the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ
and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore.
Amen.
And surely, goodness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord days without an end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
All right. Now, we are going for the